We cannot spare any warriors, Ayark. One was born, another died. All is equal.
Ayark looked back.
Adin, you will need a bantha. Take her axe.
The old raider objected.
But the bantha should die with its rider. It's our tradition. Many traditions are dying.
Ayark said, wandering off into the darkness of the pillars. Night was falling.
There was much to plan.
Meditation. Good morning, Qui-Gon. Quiet here as always. I know there are seasons on this planet, but I'm still not sure which one I'm in. But it is peaceful. You know, we trained ourselves to be able to find solace even in the busiest places. Coruscant teemed with souls, and we meditated right at the center of it. By comparison, you'd think this place would be ideal for meditation. I can't tell you why it isn't. You used to say that in cases like this, the problem wasn't the place, it was the person. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do about that. It's not as though I'm going to be any less worried about things after I've been here 6 months, or 6 years, or however long it takes for hope to return to the galaxy. It's not like I'm going to suddenly get my friends back. It's not like I'm going to feel any better about what I had to do to poor Anakin. It's not like... No, I'm sorry. I don't feel like doing this right now.
Chapter 14. The Republic. For 1,000 generations, it had been out there. The bright center of the galaxy, shining light into the imaginations of everyone who lived on the Outer Rim. The Republic had seen tumult and change, invaders and oppressors. It had resisted the incursions of armored nomads and crazed cultists. It had even turned its back on the rest of the galaxy for a time, protecting itself against a dark age of fear and plague. But light had always returned. Weeks earlier, someone in the store had told Annalene that the Republic had changed yet again. She hadn't paid much mind. The bright center for her meant Mos Eisley, the large spaceport in the distant east, a bustling metropolis that made the capital Bestine look like the farming community it really was. Annalene liked visiting Mos Eisley, despite its well-deserved reputation as a den of criminal activity. And on a day as slow as today, she would have found some business excuse to go. But Jabe and Callie were both in Mos Espa, as was practically everyone else. The Comet-run pod race was no Bunta Eve classic, but it emptied the Pika Oasis as efficiently as the plague. Glomer had shut down the garages and left with his crews. Most of the independent mechanics, normally willing to profit from his absence, had followed suit. Callie had rented half the livery animals to racegoers. And naturally, Oren had given his vaporator crews the day off. His workers already spent so much time in the claim that Annalene wondered if any of them could tell the difference between work days and holidays anymore. Danar's one criticism of his best friend had been that Oren confused popularity with profit. He made money, but he also spent a lot to look like a big man, too. Annalene would never be accused of making that mistake. She gave no thought to closing the store. The revelers would return in a spending mood, whether they'd won their bets or not. The evenings following races were the most lucrative in the store's year. She'd cover her month's expenses before last call. But the race days themselves were quiet. Annalene had shared a quiet breakfast with Lily. Annalene had actually sat at a table for a change. Afterward, the Zeltron woman headed home, where she planned to lie in a luxurious coma all day until her family's return.
Annalene gave old Ulbrich unlimited access to the Bantha jerky jar, with instructions to tell Herbalie Napti, should she come by, that the store's owner had emigrated to Heptuine. Finally, after supplying Bomer with a full carafe of calf, she grabbed her floppy hat and satchel and stole into the southwestern yard. There she sat on a blanket in the shade of the store's mammoth vaporator, her back against the machine's frosty base, feeling every puff of cool air that wafted off the compressor. Data pad on her lap, she looked at the images and imagined. In seconds, she was sitting on the coast of Barunda, a place alive and teeming with nature. Or capital K on Aquilaris, watching the sea croppers bring in their catch. Or on the gold beaches of Corellia, or some other locale. It was an old data pad, one she hadn't looked at in years. She thumbed again through the pictures. More faraway places, distant both physically and into the past. The hollow emitter on the device didn't work anymore, but she didn't care. The collection of pictures was a hopeless wish list, collated by a much younger person. The planet still existed, for sure. She doubted Chancellor Palpa, who's it, or anyone he was fighting had the power to change that. But the places were impossibly beyond her reach. She'd brought the data pad outside to refresh her memory about those distant places. Ben had gotten her thinking again about the galaxy. Well-traveled company always did. She'd hoped to ask him if he had been to any of the worlds in her pictures. But the morning had passed with no Ben. It had been silly to expect him to come, Annalene thought. The man had already bought most of what he needed, and a lot of the prospector types could stay out for weeks at a time. Or perhaps he'd forgotten her mention of the day. Or maybe he was at the races himself. She rejected the last possibility. That would make Ben like everyone else here, and thus far, he hadn't seemed like that. But she had to admit she had no idea what he might do. Once again, she mentally calculated the time to traverse the distance from Ben's house to the oasis on Eopiback. Why didn't the man have a land speeder? Just another mystery. But little puzzles were all that separated one day from another at the claim. Sadly, this puzzle seemed doomed to have only three or four pieces. Doomed. This was the right data pad for thoughts like that. Annalene shifted back to another document and read. She had written it such a long time ago, it almost seemed scripted by another person. "My name is Annalene Thaney.